This right here, the simple mathematical fact that you cannot get one from zero, is something that modern scientists have a real hard time with, because theory, which is the difference between theory and fact, is theory is nothing more than an idea, an educated guess. And a fact is something that's been proven over and over again. And we all know through common sense that you can't get one from zero. There has always been one, and there will always be one. Albert Einstein, we all know who he is. He said, "The more I study science, the more I believe in God." William Kelvin, which he's the guy that came up with the theory, which later became a fact of absolute zero in temperature. He said, if you study science deep enough and long enough, it will force you to believe in God. Now, I don't quote them because they're religious men, but they were experts in their field. And the theories that they came up with were ultimately became fact, proven over and over again. I'd like to turn to John chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Also, over in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, it says, and it, you know, this is when Moses is talking to the burning bush, talking to God. And Moses asked him, he says, "Who shall I tell the people of Israel sent me to deliver them?" And God says, "I am who I am. Thus you shall say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me. I am." Now, let's think about that. I am. It doesn't say I was or I shall be. It's I am. Now, through these two scriptures, it's evident that God created everything that was ever created. And this being the fact, He is the creator of time and space. He is not subject to them. Therefore, when God sees time, it's not like we see it. We see it like a river flowing from past to present to future. With Him, the great I am, it's all laid out before Him at once. Because He is the master of all, and He is the creator of all. Over in John chapter 1 again, verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." So we see here that Jesus Christ, the Word, had no beginning and has no end. He was the Word. The world was created by Him. Everything that was created by Him. And He, the Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh, came to earth, and dwelt amongst men. Now, why did Christ do that? Why was He sent? In Romans 3:23, it says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin are death. Now, what kind of death are we talking about here? Well, in Matthew 13 and 42, it talks about eternal torment, separation from God, and the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see that we've all sinned. We're all worthy of death. And that death is not simply a physical death. That death is what many people refer to as the second death, which is eternal. And personally, I don't have the ability to grasp an eternity that involves these type of things here. But to say the very least, it's probably the worst thing that you could imagine. But John, in John 3:16, we see that God so loved the world that he sent his son so that we might have hope of eternal salvation. Now, I'd like to ask everyone here to think back and try to recall as close as you can the moment that you were saved. What you did to become saved. What steps you took. And just try to hold that in your mind for a minute, because we're going to get back to it here in a little while. The point of salvation. The first thing that we're told, the first step that we're told in the Bible that we're to take is over there in 2 Timothy 3 and 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice one word there. And it's unto. I think I could spell that. So, we hear unto. What does unto mean? Unto is, it means to move towards, to grow closer to it. So hearing, and I think we can pretty much safely say that a large majority of, the population of the world has heard the story of Christ. And I know that everybody in this room's heard it. You know, the fact that mankind is, you know, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and Christ came down here on earth as a man, was born of a virgin, lived a life, suffered the temptations that every normal man faces and overcame every one of them, lived a perfect life, was persecuted by his own people, led to a mock trial, scourged, beaten, made to carry his own instrument of death to the hill of Golgotha and hung upon a cross, died, was buried, rose on the third day, and showed himself to many, many people. We're all familiar with that story. So everyone in this room has heard that story. But we've heard that story unto something. What comes next? 1 Peter 1 and 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see that? Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So now we've got faith. Or believe unto. We're getting closer. That's the second step. I'd like to take a little pause right there because there's a lot of people in this world that teach that if you believe in Christ, that's all you need. But if you look over at James 2 and 19, it says, you believe, you do well. The demons believe also, and they tremble. Now, do you think that those demons are going to be saved? I don't think so. Third thing we're going to look at is Acts 11:18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Repented unto life. Unto. We're still taking steps. What does repent mean? It means to turn from. To turn from your old ways, to change. It's a paradigm shift in the way you think. Let's take it one more step. Confess. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with his mouth he confesses made a confession is made unto salvation. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we're confessing unto. I might mess up on the spelling, it's getting pretty hard. We're confessing unto. We're still traveling. We're still taking steps. Now, I want you to consider this for just one second. Because these first four steps that we've illustrated here, I can't remember the exact facts and you'll have to correct me after the sermon about this one, Garland, because I can't remember. But I know it was something like 70 to 80% of the people in America that profess to be Christians believe that these four steps right here is all that's necessary for you to become a member of Christ's body, to be saved, to be eligible for eternal life. If you look over there in Matthew 7 and 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto him, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, if you look at this fellow right here that's traveling down this timeline, you see that he's heard, he's believed, he's repented, and he's confessed. But he's not in Christ. Let's take a look at baptism, Galatians 3 and 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, if you look at all these different things that we've been looking at, everything that we've looked up at this point has all said unto. Unto. Right here, baptism. Into. There's only one scripture in the New Testament that refers to baptism as unto. And that scripture is referring to an Old Testament event when Moses took the Israelites through the Red Sea, and they were baptized unto, they went through it. We're talking about the New Testament. Every single scripture that refers to baptism in the New Testament, it is into. So, you hear unto, you believe unto, you repent unto, you confess unto, but you're baptized into Christ. You're in the fold. Now, how does Christ do that? Acts 22 and 16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Revelations 1 and 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What saves? The blood of Jesus. That's what saves. I can't think. I know that, and I'm sure you're the same way. When you see on TV those little kids down there in them third world countries that, you know, they don't have enough to eat, they don't have the proper medical care, and it kind of hits you in the heart. You hate seeing that. You hate seeing and hearing about little kids over here in America that are abused physically and mentally and neglected. That hits us in the heart. You take it a step further and you think about the people that you love. Think about your friends and your relatives, your loved ones, even your acquaintances. And you think about these people that, you know, some of them have, they've got physical disabilities and they're in pain physically. Some of them are in pain mentally. A lot of them are in pain spiritually. And we feel for these people. We want what's best for them. You know, you take that torment or that pain that they're in right now, and you multiply that by 10,000, multiply it by a million, and it don't even come close to what eternal damnation means. We can't even fathom that. So, I would challenge you and myself to, at every opportunity, make the opportunity to relay the gospel to those people. Because when it's too late, it's too late. You know, we're not guaranteed to make it home tonight. Driving home. I mean, we get killed. Stuff like that happens all the time. You die in your sleep. We're not guaranteed the next hour, the next day. That's why it's very urgent to get this message out. Because it's not the platform that we have to speak from is not as large as what the world has. And the message that they put out there under the banner of Christianity, 70 to 80% of the time, whatever it is, stops at point four. You know, these mega churches, and, you know, I don't know how they get around it personally, because it's straight right there in the Bible. I think that's why that this morning, when the brother came forward and came back to the fold, that's why you didn't see a dry eye in the place, because that message means so much. And it, personally, it hits me right in the heart when I think about I got a son, and he's a man now. And you know, his name's Jake. And he's never heard this message that I know of. You know, he was sprinkled as a baby. I don't even know if he's ever read the Bible, because that's not prominent in that sect. But I know one thing. I know that there's not one example in that whole Bible of a person that's not accountable and of age being sprinkled with water and calling that baptism. There ain't one example in there. You can't find it. So it really strikes my heart that those that are dear and near to us, we should take every opportunity that we have to drive home the fact that you must hear unto, you must believe unto, you must repent unto, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died for your sins. And last, you must be baptized in the blood of Christ and wash away your sins.